We have a list in this country of people who are on a transplant waiting. It's actually a transplant waiting list. And as I understand it, there are about 98,000 Americans on that national transplant waiting list. More than 110 patients on that list from Wisconsin died last year, unfortunately. And we're just about to April, and April is National Donate Life Month. And we're really pleased to have with us today Dr. Anthony D'Alessandro, who is a transplant surgeon at UW Hospitals and Clinics, as one of our guests. Dr. D'Alessandro, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure.
And also with us, Jay Deppe, who is a procurement coordinator in the UW Health Organ Procurement Organization, and I believe is also a pancreas recipient, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Jay?
That's true.
Well, I'm really pleased to have you both with us today. You may have some questions for our guests about organ donations and about transplants, and I certainly hope you do. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, and you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Give us a call. Well, we have about 98,000 people. Is that correct on that list, Dr.
Yeah, that's correct. There's in the United States about 98,000, and in Wisconsin, a little over 1,500 people on waiting lists at the transplant centers in Wisconsin.
How many of those do you perceive or think will die before the transplant?
Even though we have some of the highest donation rates in the country, probably somewhere between 6% and 8% of those patients will not have that chance at renewed life through the gift of organ transplantation because an organ didn't become available in time.
Why do you think Wisconsin's been pretty good? What's our percentage of people who sign up for that?
The people who consent to organ donation is very high in the state. And if you look at the Department of Motor Vehicles' intent to donate, it's about 52-53% of people indicate that they're interested, and actually it's quite high in the 16 to 19 demographic. It's actually over 63% for that particular group of, people.
So, Jay, as we think about it then, the down the road, things look pretty good when we look at our youth who are actually beating out the elderly or the older folks.
Sure, I think that's because of education. It seems there's been a great move nationwide, and especially in Wisconsin, at improving education about what donation can do, what it's really about, and how people can benefit. People like me have seen firsthand.
Yeah, you are a pancreas recipient.
It's true. It's my five-year anniversary. My of my transplant is coming up in July. And talk about a life-saving, life-changing experience. It truly is not just personally, in my personal life, but also look at my profession.
Yeah,
it becomes such commitment to it and such passion for it that it really makes you see what a great thing's happened to you. You feel like you need to be a part of it to help others too.
Well, maybe you could take us through what it's like to get on the list. How do you get on a list, and how do you,
sure,
you know, if you're on that side of things?
Sure, sure. I was fortunate because of geography. I was really lucky to be within the service area for UW Hospital and the transplant center here. I had looked at others and what would work best for me, and this most certainly was the best way to do it. Initially was a consultation. I talked to actually a nurse that works at the transplant center. I talked to her first, did a brief interview over the phone, and came into the clinic, talked with one of the transplant surgeons. And it's not something entered into lightly. It's
right.
It's not like a typical appointment where you go in, you come out and know what's going on. They are very good about letting you know the everything about it. And then the waiting comes.
Yeah.
So I was very fortunate. I only waited 30 days, but there's so many variables that go into that that it's hard to say, you know, what's going to happen for each person.
Dr. D'Alessandro, it must be it's got to be a great profession for you, and a great to have the skill and to be able to save people's lives.
There's no question about that. But unfortunately, I do see the other side where I can't take care of the patients or all the patients that are in need. And to be able to work in the organ recovery organization, to see how we affect the lives of donor families, how we affect the lives of recipients, and to see that, that circle of life come fully around is quite a remarkable thing to see. And it's a very, very rewarding profession, but I know there's more that needs to be done to help the rest of those patients who haven't been getting that chance at a new life.
We have Dana in Oshkosh online with a question or comment. Dana, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you. I understand that one bottleneck for organ donation is the short shelf life, if you will, of the organ once it's removed from the donor, that there are only hours of time in which it can be put into a recipient with a good outcome. And I read some work from UW-Madison about animals in hibernation. In that state, if you remove donor organs, it extends the viability of the donated organ to days instead of hours. And I wondered if the doctor feels that perhaps someday hibernation of an organ donor person, like myself, would be a way to extend the possibility of helping more recipients of donated organs.
That's a good question. Dr. D'Alessandro?
Yes. We do a great deal of cutting-edge research at the university. However, I think the biggest bottleneck for organ donation is not the amount of time the organs can stay outside of the body. The biggest bottleneck is enough people saying yes to organ donation and being willing to donate in a time of tragedy, clearly. And it's so important that those people discuss that they have an advance directive and tell their families about that they want to be organ donors if they are in that situation. There's no question that the research we do will help that. But currently, we do have enough time to get the organs in. The biggest problem is not having enough organs to transplant.
Interesting. Thanks for calling, Dana. Appreciate your call. Larry in Sheboygan will turn to you next. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'd like to make a comment about Wisconsin Donor Organization and what a wonderful organization we have here. 1994, I tragically lost my only son, or my only child at that time, killed tragically right in front of me. And they really helped me to get back on my feet. We donated as many organs as we could. And I know his eyes are donated. His heart valves, I got a letter one Thanksgiving from a young girl who at birth had heart surgery. And then many years later, as she grew, she needed these new heart valves. And she thanked me for the gift. And both his kidneys were donated. One woman writes me every year on his birthday, on the anniversary of his death, and on Christmas. And gives me updates on how we've made her life possible. And it's all due to not only my son's gift, but Wisconsin Donor Organization really helped me to heal. And I just want to give a great shout out to them and how, you know, anybody thinking about donating organs, it's truly the gift of life.
Well, Larry, I thank you very much for calling. We might get some comments from both of our guests. Jay, Deppy, we start with you.
Yeah, Larry, on behalf of all recipients everywhere, thank you. Because people that make donation possible, the donor families, they are the reason that organ transplantation happens. If it doesn't start with the family saying yes and the individual is indicating their desire to be organ donors, it doesn't go on at all. So first and foremost, thank you for that. And also, I'm really glad to hear you've had such a great experience, again, with such a tragic times, a tragic happening in your life. But it does show, too, that there are things that go on beyond the death, too, with donation. Both sides do feel some comfort to this, and especially the ones that have lost a loved one. They feel that they've gone on, and it's a tribute to them.
Wisconsin Donor Organization handled it so well, too. They'd send you a letter, and they'd say, there's an envelope inside here, a letter from the recipient of one of your son's organs, and you have the option of opening it or not, sharing it with others. And they've also, at different hospitals throughout Wisconsin, have memorials, whether it's send in a quilt patch or send in a photo, and they'll put together photo montages of all the donors. And several times a year, there's banquets and get together with others. And it's really helped immensely with the healing. Sharing, caring, and kindness of this organization is outstanding.
Yeah, thank you, Larry. And Dr. D'Alessandro, comment from you.
I think these comments really hit home to what we really do and the work that we do, and that the legacy of your loved one lives on, it lives on in the people who receive the transplants, and that legacy is honored with all the events that you've just mentioned that occur. Many times the donor family can meet the recipient, and that happens periodically, and it's really quite an emotional and overpowering event. And I think Jay could speak to that. He actually met his donor family, the emotion that and the healing and the solace and comfort that pours from those types of greetings is really quite remarkable.
Yeah. Larry, thank you very much for calling. And Jay, maybe you want to make a comment on that.
Yeah, as it happened, just within the last month, in early February, the woman who was married to the gentleman who was my donor back in 2003 traveled here from North Dakota. And she brought her daughter with her, who was only 18 months at the time of her husband's mm-hmm. death, and also her current boyfriend, fiance. Mm-hmm. And just like Dr. D'Alessandro said, the words fall short of how to describe that, and also the bond that you feel with these people. It's incredible.
Yeah. Thanks again, Larry, for calling. Appreciate your call very much. Well, in terms of signing up now, the way we're situated, what is the, I know on your driver's license you can do it.
Well, I think this is a nice segue into some of the legislation that's been recently passed, the Uniform Anatomic Gift Act. Currently, you can sign your license. It's an intent. And where we're hoping to move with the Uniform Anatomic Gift Act is that the standards for a statewide donor registry have now been put in place, and there's been some additional legislation to help fund the registry. And the OPOs, as well as the Department of Motor Vehicles and the Department of Health and Family Services, are working together on a grant to receive funding from HHS to jumpstart a registry in our state, which will, combined with public campaigns, should increase quite a bit the number of people on a registry who have said yes to donation, so that when they're in that situation, we know what they wanted to have done.
We'll continue our conversation with our two guests, Dr. Anthony D'Alessandro, a transplant surgeon at UW Hospitals and Clinics, and Jay Deppe, procurement coordinator in the UW Health Organ Procurement Organization, is also a pancreas recipient. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking organ donation and transplants now with Dr. Anthony D'Alessandro, transplant surgeon at the UW Hospitals and Clinics, and also with Jay Deppe, who is a procurement coordinator in the UW Health Organ Procurement Organization. He's also a pancreas recipient. Really glad to have them both with us. If you have questions relating to organ donation or transplants, I hope you'll join us. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and with your comments. And as we were talking, there's some legislation that, even though Wisconsin is already, the people of the state are pretty good about signing on to donate organs, there's still room for improvement here, and we've got some legislation, Dr. D'Alessandro, to help that along.
That's correct, and I think this is legislation that's really been put forward quite rapidly and made effective in a very quick time. Actually, the new legislation becomes effective April 1, And as you may know, the legislative process at many times takes 90 to 100 days to have bills become effective. And I think that just underlies the importance that, our state government gives to the citizens in our state regarding organ donation and the need for transplants. And these bills help to do that.
And we'll talk some more about those bills as we go along here. But I did want to – someone wondered about the cutoff age for donations of organs. I'm probably on either end of the life scale.
Usually, as a general rule, 1 month of age and 75 years of age. However, there can be patients on a little bit younger and a little bit older that may be potential for donation. We look at each situation individually and how that person has other medical conditions that may or may not preclude them from donating. And as we change and learn more about the donation process, and we can extend those boundaries further because we know that the patients clearly benefit when they get a transplant.
And someone wondered about organs being flown into Maury Field in Middleton.
Well, we have contracts with a number of vendors for flights, but because of what we do, we do require two pilots and specialized planes, and so we contract primarily with the state planes. And although I don't get to ride Bucky One very often, we're usually out on the state planes on our organ recoveries.
Let's go to Judy and Delavan next. Judy, hi. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you. You just answered my question about the age limit for donation, but I wanted to mention that I have a son who in 2001 donated a kidney to his wife's uncle, and I was scared silly. But he came out of it just fine, and the recipient is doing fine, too. He was losing kidney function because of diabetes and had to face dialysis all the time and was having trouble with it. But Mike was, my son was like 34 or 35 at the time, and I was frightened for him. And he had a few days of a lot of discomfort, but he's just fine and functioning well, and heart, you know, he doesn't miss the kidney at all. So if anyone's considering it, yes, it works, it's fine, and don't be afraid to do it. We were really nervous.
Yeah, I can imagine. Comment, Dr. D'Alessandro?
Although we've been primarily talking about deceased donation, when people die and donate, a significant portion of transplants can be done from live donors and done safely because of many of the techniques that we've developed to recover kidneys with a laparoscope, for example. We can also do live liver donation, take a portion of a parent's liver or an adult's liver for someone who's in liver failure. So all of those are possibilities in addition to donation from deceased donors.
Shirley and Prentice, it's your turn next. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. With the stem cell research going on now, could this be making the less necessary for transplants, or could there ever come a day when the stem cells will do the trick?
Hmm, interesting question.
Well, someday I do hope I'm out of a job, quite frankly. And there has been a fair amount of work being done with stem cells in creating blood vessels or creating urinary bladders, quite frankly, that have been actually transplanted. And so the science is there at this point and is moving along so that in the future I would envision that organs could be either improved as they are with stem cells or actually grown on scaffolds and actually transplanted.
Something for down the road. We hope that can happen. Thanks, Shirley. Good question. Jay, I wonder, do you know, how does a will accommodate? Someone was wondering how a will accommodates a whole body donation. Are you familiar with that, or Dr. D'Alessandro?
You know, as a procurement coordinator, we deal primarily with, as Dr. D'Alessandro talked about earlier, about deceased donation. So I think this question, as it comes to the wills and such, I'm going to defer to Dr. D'Alessandro.
Sure. And there are situations where people can will their entire bodies. But there is a little, sometimes people may not understand that they can't do both. They can donate organs or will the entire body. The Uniform Anatomic Gift Act that we were just talking about prioritizes now organs for transplant ahead of education and research. Now, there are people who, once we evaluate them, cannot be donors, and so those people can still will their entire body for research or education. But if there's a choice with the need that we have, the priority would be for transplantation first.
Makes sense. Kevin in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Kevin.
How are you guys doing today?
Great. Thank you for calling.
I'm just calling in to thank Dr. D'Alessandro because he actually did my transplant surgery back in 2003.
Oh, wonderful.
And good to hear from you, Kevin.
And I was just wanted to comment to just to say after the transplant, I'm actually back in school and I'm living life like I never even had a problem. So if anybody out there is actually thinking about donating their organs to somebody or they know of somebody that needs one, go ahead and do it.
I thank you very much for calling, Kevin. Do you get this a lot? You hear this a lot?
It's a small community, and it's just about everywhere you go in the state, you meet people that you've affected their lives. As the Organ Procurement Organization, we work with all the counties in Wisconsin, and we have hospitals in all those areas, and many of those patients from those community hospitals have been to Madison for a transplant, and when we go back to those communities, we see those people, meet them, and it is interesting that even when you're not at the hospital, you may meet people, and that's happened to me several times, and patients from years ago that I've transplanted. It's really quite a nice feeling.
Yeah, it has to be. Where obviously here at the University of Wisconsin Hospitals, we perform a lot. How many do you perform in a year, do you know?
Usually around 500 total transplants every year, and that makes us one of the largest transplant centers in the country. But it's not just about the volume, but it's the quality and the lives that we affect. And we're very keen on providing very high-quality care to the patients who are obviously very sick when they come to us.
Yeah, obviously. And I'm wondering, are there other places, what other places around the state, or are there other places around the state where there are organ transplants going on?
Yeah, actually, there are programs in Milwaukee as well as Madison. And there are two organ procurement organizations in the state, one in Milwaukee, one in Madison. And both organ procurement organizations are very high-performing organ procurement, and the transplant centers are well-respected. So Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee area, in the Madison area, in the rest of the state, all the organizations involved with transplantation have a very good reputation.
Kevin, thank you again. I appreciate it very much.
No problem. I just wanted to say, everybody that I actually – I'm back in school. I'm studying healthcare business services, so the medical field is in my blood. I've been an EMT for the past 14 years.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And everybody that I talk to, I say, now you know somebody that has been affected by organ transplants, and their eyes just light up, and we start talking about it. And I try to inform them as much as I can about it, if they have any questions, I try to steer them in the right direction so that they can get those questions answered.
That's wonderful, Kevin. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Guys.
Yeah, thank you. Nancy in Grafton, let's hear from you now. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. On December 10th, 2000, our son Leo is the first snowmobile fatality. He went through the ice in the river here in Grafton, and it took a long time before they found him. And he was transported to our local hospital, and from there he was taken to Frederick. His organs were not usable because he had been in the water so long, so they said that his eyes could be used for transplants, so we agreed to that. And in early January, I received a letter, and it said two people had received sight from Leo's eyes, and Leo had been a fisherman in Alaska, and he saw beautiful, beautiful things with those eyes, and I just hope that whoever received the sight can enjoy someday the beauty that those eyes had seen in Alaska. And I'm sorry that we couldn't use more of his organs, but we did what we could, and it was a healing situation to hear that, you know, that somebody else could see sight from Leo.
Thank you, Nancy.
I think the important thing that Nancy brings up is that not only can people donate organs for transplantation, but there is a great need for tissue and eyes and corneas, and that one person can help 40 to 50 people through tissue, bone, and eye donation. And the gift of sight is just incredible. And so although Nancy wishes she could donate more, those two people who got the gift of sight are happy that she was able to donate what she could.
Anita in Lindenhurst, Illinois, we will go to you next. Hi, Anita.
Hi. This is a wonderful program. I just was wondering, for instance, like one of your callers, a couple calls back, is a recipient of an organ. Now, if he had his card filled out and everything, can an organ that's been received be then subsequently donated again?
Okay, so let's assume someone gets an organ and then is, let's say, killed in a car accident. Could that organ be donated again?
Yes. It happens rarely that the situation is such that you have a transplant patient in a situation that can donate. But we have, on six occasions, retransplanted kidneys. One time a pancreas, and there's actually been recent reports of a retransplantation of a heart. And so that is certainly possible in certain situations.
Interesting. Thanks, Anita.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And let's go to, before we go to Audrey and Toma, I'll just mention we have some open lines we can get you on pretty quickly here as we talk organ donation and transplants with our two guests. At 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. And now on to Audrey in Toma. Hi, Audrey.
Well, hello there. This is the first time I've ever called, but I so believe in this program. My husband, who passed away suddenly 3.5 years ago, had always wished that he could receive eyes as he was legally blind. And I thank the hospital for when he died unexpectedly that they reminded me that he had the donor list. You know, he was on the donor list there at the hospital. And donor services came and removed part of his body. I think it was mostly tissue, but you would never know when he was, you know, at the funeral home that anything happened. And the quilt from donor services that we have my husband's, John's, picture on will be displayed here at Toma Memorial Hospital April 4th to the 18th. And my family and myself all are going to be donors in the future. And I just believe in that program so strongly.
Audrey, thank you very much. Jay, a comment?
Yeah, well, and Audrey, thank you for saying yes and having that conversation with your husband. And also, too, it's interesting. I know in my work, I daily will talk to families that have said yes to donation, and we have a follow-up program. We talk with them as time goes on after the event. And I've yet to ever hear any family say, I wish I did not donate. Everyone is always so grateful, but so many times you do hear after the fact, once the opportunity is gone, you will hear people say, gee, I wish I would have had the opportunity too. And I think we've heard a bit of that on the show already this morning. So it's really it's good that we're out doing this now and talking about this, and we're getting such positive feedback from people that are calling in, because it is something that needs to be talked about and discussed a bit more.
What's the typically, why would someone, a family member, say, well, no, I don't think... What has to be overcome?
I think mostly they haven't talked about it. They haven't had the discussion. So when faced in a very highly charged emotional situation, usually someone very healthy is in a tragic accident. To make that decision when they haven't discussed with the person what they would have wanted in this situation is probably the primary reason. And I think that's where having a registry, having public awareness campaigns, having people talk about it. As you know, when you sign up for your license, it may not be 8 years until you get your next license.
Yeah.
And so your license may not accurately reflect your wishes to donate. And so I think what we need to do is, as a society, talk about it more, talk with our families about this, these types of situations so that when it does occur, people know.
Mm-hmm. Audrey, thank you again. I appreciate your call, and I want to give some others a chance to be on. Dave in Lake Tomahawk, you are up next. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon now.
Good afternoon.
I 11 years ago, I donated a kidney to my mom, and, you know, there's a happy side to all this donation thing. It was a real nice experience, and I still get to go down and visit my kidney every time I go down to visit my mom. I still think that if people remained aware of donation, that I wouldn't have had to go through that. I mean, I think it's probably easier on a dead guy than it was on me.
Well, Dr. D'Alessandro?
You know, I think... in an ideal world, if there were enough deceased donors, you're absolutely correct. We wouldn't put someone through the surgery, even though it's a very safe surgery and has superb results. Anytime you have surgery, there is the potential, and there's always pain, obviously, as you probably found out. But if there were enough deceased donors for all the patients waiting, I think we would see the number of live donors going down. But as it stands, it represents about 30% to 40% of the number of transplants that we do at the University of Wisconsin here in Madison.
Now, time gets totally away, I want to go back to just mention on now this new legislation takes place in April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a couple days away.
That's
actually
correct.
And what happens now when with that new legislation? What do we need to do, or what?
I think some of the key points of the legislation are that it strengthens the language from someone overriding your advance directive or your documents that you want to be a donor.
Mm-hmm.
It allows more people to say yes to donation. It increases the number of people who can be legal next of kin. For example, healthcare power of attorney jumps to the top of the list.
Okay.
And it allows people who have cared for you, have a special relationship with you, it allows legal guardians and actually adds adult grandchildren and adult grandparents. So the legal next of kin is increased. It also allows patients who have a do not resuscitate order who want to be donors to maintain their support until which time they can be assessed as to whether they can be donors or not. So, and the registry, it allows the framework for a statewide registry to form, and that's really an important part of this legislation.
It's all good things, and hooray to our legislature and governor for moving it along as fast as they have. Sue in Hartford, it's your turn. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I had the pleasure and privilege of getting to know a young man who became an organ donor because of a cycling accident, and I encourage everyone to go to jsonline.com and type in his name, Matthew Wittig, Wittig. He was 19 or 20 when he was in the cycling accident. And at 16, when he got his driver's license, discussed with his family and felt very strongly about organ donation at that young age. The family was able to donate 90% of his organs, which is amazing. They were able to use just about everything. He was a very, very healthy young man, wonderful spirit, wonderful family. The accident was, I believe, May of 2005. But he had had a previous accident about a year before that. He was very passionate about cycling. In the accident, he had severe brain trauma, thought that he would never be able to cycle again, and he was able to, and then had, another cycling accident. Yeah, the second accident. But, you know, if there had to be, you know, some kind of positive part of it, it was that.
It was that, yeah. Comment, Jay?
Yeah, that is exactly what we were talking about earlier, that the younger folks have the highest percentage of saying yes to donation or talking about it, and that goes to the it's called the Kelly's Law. And Mary Knockreiner is a person in our office at University of Wisconsin Org of Procurement. And her daughter, Kelly, was tragically killed in a car accident. And she was able to be a donor. And Mary felt so passionate about organ donation after her experience with it that through working aggressively with Wisconsin legislature again, a bill was passed that requires all State of Wisconsin students receiving driver's ed classes or instruction to have 30 minutes of instruction at least.
And unfortunately, with that, we have to conclude. We're out of time, but my plea is to everyone listening, if you're not an organ donor, make sure you become one. Talk it over with your family. Make sure your family members know your wishes on this. And a big thanks to Dr. Anthony D'Alessandro and to Jay Deppe for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank
thanks
you
for having us.
And stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.